Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live, where sarcasm goes to the movies and snark watches TV, with your hosts, the Horror Fatale and the Diva Mummy.
Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live. I'm your host, the Horror Fatale, bringing you this week's horror news, reviews, recaps, and information. As always, I ask you to like, subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, or whatever platform you're listening to the cast on.
Guess what, bitch? Coronavirus! Coronavirus! Shit is real! Shit is getting real! Shit is real! Coronavirus! Shit is real! Shit is getting real!
Okay, I thought I'd add that some levity, because if you are living anywhere on planet Earth, you know that things are a little bit mad right now, and a little bit scary, and I think we're all anxious. So it's partially the reason why I decided I must do this podcast, because, you know, we need some fun in the midst of, the bad. So, as you know, COVID-19, aka the coronavirus, has stamped out all the fun in the world. And the notes that I have for my productions, the things that were in, I had debated on whether I was going to even mention them, because I think all that stuff has been halted anyway because of coronavirus, and, you know, they're wanting everybody to self-isolate and stay away from each other as much as possible until they can figure out a vaccine, which is probably going to be a whole nother year from now. It's just a mess. So production on most things have been halted. And if you live in a large metropolitan area like Los Angeles, there is no more movie theater to go to. They have closed them all. The movie theaters, the gyms, places like that are closed for now. And I'm not even real sure when they're going to reopen them. They pulled Black Widow, which is not a horror movie, but it's been pulled from its release date in May, all the way in May. May 1st, I think it was supposed to come out. It's suspended indefinitely. So they've halted production on everything. So I just kind of decided I wasn't going to do my notes, because one was about Escape Room 2, which is actually supposed to come out in August. There's no word on the date of it still coming out in August, but I think it's probably a wait and see thing to see how this continues to spiral. Honestly, it's not looking good that it's going to be under control, because the cases are doubling, and at this rate, I don't know. But let's focus on some happy news. If you visit HorrorFatale.com on a regular basis, and I hope you do, you would know that The Hunt and Invisible Man are slated to be released early for video on demand on Friday. What's today for Friday, actually? It is March 20th. And so because they're going to pull them out of the theater, because, like I said, if you're in certain cities, you won't be able to go to the theater to see them. So Universal made a decision to go ahead and just put them into your hands at your house, where you're safe and you can go ahead and just view them there. They were suggesting that the prices to view them would be $19.99. All I had to do was open up my own site and read it to you, but I decided to fake and break my way through it, as I always do. But it'll be available for 48 hours for $19.99 each. It's kind of like, it's not a bad price, because I don't know where you live in the country, but out here I spend that anyway for one movie ticket, and for one viewing. So to have it for 48 hours in the comfort of your own home with your own free snacks is a good deal. I would bet that they're going to probably wind up doing this for some of the major movies that they have coming out this summer. If, like I said, if this doesn't, you know, become controlled by then, because I just don't see them shelving things for you to wait a whole year, especially with Black Widow, because the Black, I don't know if you guys are Marvel fans, but let's nerd out. Black Widow is supposed, it's a prequel, and it's setting up everything else, all the other Marvel shows that are coming on Disney. So for them to like shelve it indefinitely, I think it's probably gonna wind up on Disney Plus or something, or on video on demand, because there's no way they're gonna keep that movie, because they can't launch their other shows, even the ones that are finished. So we shall see. But unfortunately, thanks to Corona, that is your horror movie community news.
What is happening?
What is all of this?
Did you see that article? Every year, these liberal elites kidnap a bunch of normal folks like us and hunt us for sport.
The last I heard, free speech still exists.
Don't First Amendment me.
It wasn't real.
Everybody get out of here!
We were joking.
There's been a killing spree. You gotta come here right now.
You actually believed we were hunting human beings for sport. But you are.
We have an opportunity here to teach these people.
These are not real people. They're actors.
I'm playing an Arab refugee, but I identify as white. I think that's problematic too, in some way.
You wanted it to be real, so you decided it was.
What kind of sick people would even think of something like that?
White people. We're the worst.
That was the trailer for The Hunt, which is our movie review for this week. It's the last movie that I'll probably see in a theater for a while. I'm really torn about whether I thought it was good or bad. I think I'm probably in the minority. I think it was a solid meh. Yeah, it's just a meh. It wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was just a solid meh. Let me go through the housekeeping for it. It's from Blumhouse, as you know, and it was directed by Craig Zobel, and it's listed really as an action thriller, which is probably about a little bit more accurate than being a horror. I think when it comes to Blumhouse now, they've become the house of horror, but they've done other movies. I think we kind of forget that or whatever, but this was tagged as the most talked about movie of the year that nobody has seen yet. And when it originally was supposed to, I think it was supposed to come out in September of last year, and I think there was a shooting, and so they had to pull it. So they pushed it to now, and well, it came out March 13th. So this is 5 days later, right before, like I said, LA decided to close all the movie theaters. And I went to a showing, because even then it was getting a little iffy out here with the corona, but I went to a showing where it was just me. It wasn't just me, but it was me and like three other people, because I went in the matinee time. Maybe it's better with a crowd. It could be one of those movies, but I had a few giggles here and there, and I laughed at some of the things. But let's just get into it. 12 strangers wake up in a clearing. They don't know where they are or how they got there. They don't know they've been chosen for a very specific purpose, the hunt. It had some big stars in it. Ike, Barrons Holtz, Betty Gilpin, Emma Roberts, Hilary Swank. There's a couple of other people in it too. I can't think of their names right offhand, and I should have did a better job. I have the production notes, and I might as well open those so I can get some more of the cast, because there was a couple of big names. But what I thought was cool about it is that the lead in it winds up being this character Crystal, played by Betty Gilpin, and I guess she's pretty famous as a such. She is, you know, she's in Glow, which is on Netflix. If you haven't watched it, you should. It's a really good show. But she's the main focus of the film, followed by Oscar winner Hilary Swank, and I think, well, two-time Oscar winner Hilary Swank, actually. And you guys know who she is, so I'm not going through her resume. But there are a couple of other big names in it as well. Wayne Duvall from Lincoln. Emma Roberts, like I said, you know, from American Horror X and some other stuff. Sylvia Grace Grimm from Happy Death Day to You. Christopher Baird from Spider-Man Homecoming. Amy Madigan from Gone Baby Gone. I know you're going to know who she is immediately when you see her. She's a pretty big, I think, award-winning star. Let's see, I'm trying to just jump around. Oh, Ethan Suplee from The Wolf of Wall Street. William Duvall from Lincoln. Ike Bernowitz, like I said, from Suicide Squad. Let's see. Okay, so it was a take. I think what happened at first is I think the MAGA crowd objected, because I think they thought it was in reverse when it was The Hunt. And what this really kind of does is it's poking fun at the overwokes. This is what I call them, the overwokes. The people that I'm on their side, don't get me wrong, I'm progressive, I'm liberal, I'm a literally a member of the DNC. Fun fact, I was actually a delegate from Martin O'Mallory in 2016. I was on the Alabama ballot. But it's getting on Twitter, and it does this every election cycle now that social media has become such a big part of the political scene. It's become, like, even to me, annoying. And I call the blue checks and some of these people, I call them the overwokes, because they take every ounce of joy out of everything trying to race to be the wokest of the woke. And it's annoying. And I'm a black lady, I'm a person of color, but some of y'all are doing too much. And this movie's poking fun at it, out of it, which was really refreshing. And I'm hoping that there are other progressive and liberals that looked at this and not get offended, but we get offended over everything too. Literally, one of the characters in the movie has done something, and he's really happy that he got a retweet, or it was a retweet or a like from Ava DuVernay. And, you know, Ava DuVernay is one of the overwokes. I said what I said. She is. She's one of the overwokes. And he wanted so badly. He was just very happy that, you know, one of the overwokes had patted him on his head for being overwoke. So it was poking fun at all of this, you know, that we are taking all of this shit too far. The object of this film was they were hunting the MAGA crowd, the elites, as they were calling them, the political elites, you know, us. I shouldn't assume that if you're listening to me, you are a liberal, because you don't have to be. I love you anyway. But people like me and our causes or whatever, and how we tend to, like I say, be overwoke. So they decide that they are going to take out the MAGAs, the people that don't agree with their political mantras. And that's wrong. I don't care who's doing it. And so this movie does exactly that. It puts a mirror up to us all, and all of us kind of need to knock this shit off. I'm learning slightly, and I hope, and I think this is another message that the movie was trying to tell us. We all kind of want the same thing, the best for the country, right? And I guess we disagree on how to get there, but we're gonna have to work together at some point. And better time than now with a pandemic going on, but I digress. It was very clever, and like I said, it did a lot of chastising, but did it slyly in a way where you're not going to get you might not get offended. And what I thought was interesting, again, I am a progressive and a liberal and a Democrat and all that, but this movie managed to make me root for the quote-unquote so-called bad guy, the MAGA crowd, because the overwokes were just so fucking horrible in their, you know, trying to do right, and they were doing wrong in their pursuit of doing right. And so you're cheering for quote-unquote what are supposed to be the bad guys. And what I noticed throughout all of this, this movie borrows heavily from a film back in the 90s called Surviving the Game, which starred Ice-T in it. It was Ice-T, Charles S. Dutton, and the late Rutger Hauer. And what happened was Ice-T was a homeless guy, and I think he threw himself. Now you gotta bear with me, because literally I think this movie I looked it up, it actually came out in 1994, so wow, I was a child. I was still a teenager. Oh wow, yeah, April 15th 1994. It's like literally 13 days before my 18th birthday. I just told you my age, but anyway, it was he was a homeless guy, Ice-T, and Charles Dutton is a rich guy, and he almost hit him with his car, because that's what, you know, Ice-T wanted. I think his dog ran into traffic or some shit, something like that. I can't remember. It's been, again, 20 plus years or something. So Charles S. Dutton hires him as a survival guide for him and his rich friends, and they say they go to a hunting trip in the mountains, and you know, he gives him money for clothes and a place to stay and, you know, food and, you know, to shave and, you know, groom. You know, he's like, it's not worth it. Don't kill yourself. Here's a job. So I see he's like, oh, yeah, good. You're giving me a leg up. So he takes the job or whatever. And when he actually gets to the mountains with, you know, Dutton, it's Charles S. Dutton. It's Rutger Hauer, late Rutger Hauer. I cannot say his name tonight. Gary Busey's also in it, and F. Murray Abraham, and John Magenley too. God, wow! I just realized that's who that was. Anyway, and they have basically tricked him, and they put something in his food to make him fall asleep, and when he wakes up, literally they tell him, we're gonna kill him. They hunt humans for sport, and he's the new prey. And they've been doing this for a while, because you know, if they have a setup, man, to do this. So the hunt definitely borrowed heavily from Surviving the Game. It's the name of the movie. Same kind of concept, where these rich, wealthy people are awful, And they think of it as kind of, well, he's homeless, he doesn't have any family, we're just putting him out of his misery. Literally. So that's how they justify what they're doing. So what I've noticed in the last couple of films that have been produced by Blumhouse is that we are borrowing from the past and trying to revamp them into new ways, because The Hunt is strictly the same thing. You know, you same parallels where Ice-T's character, like I said, is homeless, and you think, oh, Charles Dutton is giving him a, you know, you think he's a good guy, but you wind up again pulling for the quote unquote bad guy. Well, he's not a bad guy because he's homeless. I don't know why I said that. Anyway, but you wind up pulling for the underdog in this. And the same thing happened with The Hunt. You wind up pulling for, in this case, this person is supposed to actually be a bad guy because they're a MAGA crowd. So I don't know if that's intentional or if I'm just really old now and every I'm gonna see that nothing's fresh and nothing's new. But like I said, The Hunt, it's not bad. It's just kind of blah. I'm starting to get a little. Well, I am. I've been annoyed all year. It's only what three months in, and we are yet to get like a horror movie where you're just like, yeah, this is good, you know. Like last episode, Invisible Man's pretty good. It's not terrible. Again, I do suggest you see it. I thought it was very interesting, the things that she tried to do with it. Same thing with The Hunt. I think it's interesting. And now, especially since you can watch it at your house, I would say watch it at your house. Check it out. I didn't do a formal review for it. I just thought I'd sit here and talk to you guys about it for a while. But it is worth seeing, like I said, especially now since you can see it on your couch. I guess if I was giving it stars, I'd give it 3. Doesn't get 4.5. Just a solid 3. It's worth watching. Okay, I had to play that whole thing because I really, 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 really like that theme song. It brings back so many memories. Anyway, if you hadn't heard, you should. There is a currently airing on Apple TV. I don't know if you guys have checked that out yet. I keep stressing that you should always, always get these trials. And this is another one of the trials that you should get for Apple TV. They are re-airing a updated brand new season of Amazing Stories. I don't know how many of you guys remember this from the 80s, but if you do, we are best friends. They only did, I want to say, 3 seasons, and I could be wrong. It might have been 2 seasons of the original 80s show. But I loved every single one of those shows. It was such a warming feeling for me when I noticed that they were bringing it back. And technically, oh God, yeah, I just looked it up. It was 1984, so I already told you my age. I was really young. But it was a Spielberg thing. And some of them were flat out, you know, horror episodes. There were ghosts, there were supernatural things. One of the cooler ones that you'll see from there was called, it was animated, and it was a dog and it was following a dog, his life a crime. It's like one of my favorite ones, and I'm trying to figure out which season that was part of the series. But anyway, they've brought it back for 2020, and so far they've only aired 2 episodes of it. They drop every Friday on Apple TV, and so far they've been pretty good. I think there's going to be like 5 episodes. It's not going to be a whole lot. I think it's a limited series, but the first 2 have already aired, and one was The Cellar and the other one was The Heat. And man, people on IMDb are such assholes, and racist. Oh my god. Anyway, but The Cellar has a 7.4 rating, and it was really cool because it was time travel and it was a love story, as some of the amazing stories tended to be. And The Heat was actually kind of sad in a lot of ways, but it was worth it in the end, because again, that's how amazing stories is. I'm rambling a little bit because I'm getting tired. But I do suggest you check it out. They kept that theme song, if you were wondering. They kept the original theme song, but the way it, the show actually comes on is different. It's been updated, of course. Gone are the cavemen that sit around and told stories like they did in the original version. I cannot find the original IMDb page for the first Amazing Stories. That is bizarre. There it is. Oh, it was actually 1995. Oh, it was 45 episodes. And was it 2? Am I right? Yep, I was right. 2 seasons. The first one was one of the coolest things. And if you can, I suggest that you check that out as well. It's called The Ghost Train. It was so cool, and it has Lucas Haas, and I don't remember anybody else, but he was a little kid in it, because, you know, I think me and him are the same age, so he was a little kid. And it's him and his grandpa are best friends, and the grandpa kept saying that he had to catch his train. Apparently, when he was a little kid, he missed it by that much, getting on a train. And the train actually jumped the tracks, and everybody on the train was killed. And the grandpa missed the train, so he didn't die that day. But he kept telling, you know, his son and everybody else that he was gonna catch his train. He had to catch his train. And sure enough, the train comes riding through and tears up their house 75 years later, and he gets on the train, and the train goes away. It's very cool. I was just mesmerized as a kid. It's one of my favorite ones of that. Then there's Mummy Daddy, where the guy's an actor, and he's in a mummy costume, and just shenanigans ensue. But they've kept the spirit with the 2020 version. I can't wait to see more episodes, but the first 2 were really good. Like I said, The Cellar was a time travel one. The guy wants to find this girl that he fell in love with, you know, in the past. And I won't spoil you on it in case you get a chance to watch it. The Cellar is it's a kind of a buddy thing. I guess I'll call it a buddy film. They're 2 best friends, and one of them dies tragically, and don't want to spoil, but it's heartwarming. But anyway, that's airing on Apple TV. If you go to horrorfatale.com, you can read the review for the St. Patty's episode of Into the Dark. It's called Crawler. It was so good. And I don't know what's going on. Everything is coincidency right now, because in the episode, the town gets struck by an alien takeover. And, you know, and it's a year later, when the girl's telling us what happened and people have started to stay in on St. Patrick's Day. I don't know why that, I mean, to me, because we all have to stay in. We had to stay in on St. Patrick's Day. So I don't know what was happening. Big coincidence in that one. But you can read, like I said, the full review on horrorfatale.com. It's airing right now on Hulu. And I think I want to say that they did an April. I was proud that they actually, Into the Dark actually did a St. Patrick's Day episode this year. Last year they didn't do one. They did Daughter's Day or something. Was it Daughter's Day? Daughter's Day. And it was a really kind of icky episode because it was about, you know, these young ladies and their virtue. And they went on some kind of weird retreat with their fathers. And it was just ick. I'm just gonna be real honest, it was just kind of icky. But this year they spiced it up and did a St. Patrick's Day episode. So again, check that out. And I'm trying to see when the next episode of that will be. I gotta check to see what the holiday will be. I can't remember what's coming up, but we'll find out. I get to the pleasure of watching those early. Now, like, back to what I was saying about the, you know, platforms: Shudder, Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus. I know it's so many of them, but I guess now we're gonna need them, because I don't, you know, like I said earlier, I think they're gonna get really, they're gonna have to do something this summer, because I know they're not going to make us wait a whole year to see films that we, you know, are supposed to be watching. So I'm really thinking that they're going to put them into, you know, on the platforms, and we'll just have to see them that way, because that's going to be it. I mean, that's the only way you're going to get to see anything. Because I just don't see them opening up the theaters again for a while. Have I rambled enough? I think I might have rambled enough. Let's see. Well, I'm gonna have plenty of time to finish reading all my, you know, horror books that I have to do for review, and all those screeners that I'm gonna need to watch anyway to get to, because video on demand is gonna be our friends. Next time we talk, guys, I will probably have finished season one and maybe half a season two for the original HBO Tales from the Crypt. That's what I'm rewatching now during the corona outbreak. it's nostalgia is really a way of getting your mind off of things, so I suggest that for you guys. And this Rambling Mess episode is going to end right now, so I'm going to ask you to follow me on the socials. If you haven't noticed already, I got some time on my hands, so I've been Instagramming and tweeting up a storm. And I'm going to try to keep my tweets limited to as very little politicking as I can, and not yell at Trump. And just try to tell you what I'm reading, what I'm watching, that kind of thing. Let's just have some fun. But you can follow me on the socials at The Horror Fatale on Instagram and at Horror Fatale on Twitter. Until next time, I'm not even gonna say have sweet nightmares, because I think we are in one. But wash your hands, stay safe, and just everybody take care and tuck in.
Guess what, bitch? Coronavirus! Shit is real! Shit is getting real! Shit is real! Coronavirus! Shit is real! Shit is getting real! Shit is real! Coronavirus! We'll be right back.
Hold up.